Hey guys, today we're going to do a very different kind of advertisement for White Ended. So please listen up because this is kind of important. Former wrestler Golden Boy Jerry Gray, Jake talks about later on the show, and he has stage 4 colon cancer, and it has drained his life savings, and he dedicated his whole life to wrestling, 38 years of it. And in his words, the battle that he's fighting now is with stage 4 colon cancer. The fight has drained his savings and taken all that he has had. What he needs now is help to continue the fight. He has a GoFundMe to help him fund his fight against the brutal stage 4 colon cancer. If you go to GoFundMe and search Jerry Gray, you will find it. That's G-R-E-Y, Golden Boy, Jerry Gray. Go ahead and donate today. I challenge all White and its listeners to go ahead and reach in their hearts, reach in their wallets, and help a former wrestler out in a time where he needs it. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever, Matt, part 2 of White Ended, because after a part 1, it comes to part 2, because last week we had Jake Snake, and we got Jake the Snake again, right?
Yeah, the thing is, as you know, Robbie, last week we barely scratched the surface, so we had to rush to the ending, and there was so much more to talk about. Everybody had so many questions. One of our most downloaded episodes of all time, and I know you had a good time, even though I didn't really let you get a word, and I'm sorry, dude, with these older guys, sometimes I just can't help myself.
Well, I know, I get it. I mean, there's those weeks where I know we got a guest that you're texting me about all week and you're super excited, so I just got to let you do your thing. So that is, hey, I mean, if it happens again today, it does, because Matt, I mean, that's why, you know, you're the host of Wide Ended. You ask great questions, and sometimes I got to let you do your thing so I can play on my phone on Instagram. And I'm just kidding.
And, you know, if we ever have a guest who knows a lot about, like, Botox or selfies.
Yes, then you just got to keep your mouth shut.
That's it. It's all you. So make sure to check out Wyatt Ended's Patreon, where the episodes go up early when we can. Sometimes we record them the night before, like this one is, and we can't get them up there. But we got a bonus show up right now. One of our many bonus shows is up, which is our video and audio from our live, hilarious, well-attended show at Jimmy's Seafood. And Robbie, what are you up to these days?
Well, this weekend you could catch me Friday night in Whitehall, New York for World of Hurt Wrestling, where it's the first ever time I'm going to be in the ring with Gangrel. It's me and a guy versus Gangrel and Shane Alden. So it's going to be a tag match, and I'm wrestling a vampire. What do you think about that?
I think
you love that stuff. You love hearing me wrestle guys from the 90s that beat me up. Yeah. You love that.
Yeah, because it's not like you're going to win. You know,
and then Saturday I'll be in Reading, PA for WPW, teaching a seminar and doing a show at night. So it's a stacked weekend. And then Sunday I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, but I'm not really going to watch it because I don't like sports because they're lame. And I'm just going to eat wings and drink beer and hang out with my wife and kids.
That sounds like a plan. You know, this weekend I'm going to be somewhere as well.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
I don't really care what you're doing on the weekends, well, but I guess I'll ask.
No one gives a shit, right? So people are, you know, like people like you are in the ring. Some people like us, me and my son, we're outside the ring. And of course, we are on the MLW radio network. And my son and I are heading up to Philly to watch MLW, Low-Key versus Tom Lawler in the old ECW arena. Last time I was there, I saw you wrestle there. And now we're going to see Pentagon and Ray Phoenix, who you announced Ray Phoenix's match so well when he wrestled Kenny Omega. Did I tell you that my son and I watched it?
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, it's on the High Spots Network. It's worth a watch, guys. And Robbie, after 3 hours, is just dead. He's just like, well, that was interesting.
Oh, wrestling.
Well, wrestling indeed. Well, wrestling brings us guests like the ones we have today, and we have part 2. Now, we didn't record this at the same time, just edit it together, because that's not our style. This is a separate interview, and we revisit some of the stuff. When you look back on Jake the Snake Roberts' career, what is the first thing that pops in your mind, Robbie?
I mean, I'm pretty sure when you think of Jake the Snake, you think of DDT. You know, DDT and the Macho Man feud. How about that?
I had to send you a memo. Like, don't ask him how he got into wrestling because his dad's a wrestler.
I know this stuff. Come on, give me a little more credit. No, I had no clue, actually.
Well, we'll find out right after this on
quiet ending. Okay.
Hey, Robbie, with these great download numbers we have, and let me tell you, this isn't BS. Like, the numbers are crazy. We're about a year in, and we're doing better than we've ever done. Tyrus was huge. Tommy Dreamer was huge. And, of course, last week's Jake the Snake was huge. And I think maybe we can spread the love a little bit to some of our listeners. What do you think?
Yeah, guys. I mean, if you want to advertise on our podcast, whether you got a business, a wrestling podcast, I mean, whatever it is, product, thing that you're trying to get over somewhere, our podcast is the place to do it. We'll tweet about it free, or we'll put it on our Instagram, and we will talk about it on our podcast. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And get on that train, because Wyatt Ended is going crazy.
Choo-choo!
Oh, my God. Last week, we had one of our biggest downloaded and most popular episodes ever with Jake the Snake, and he said so much, we left a whole bunch out. Jake, thank you so much for joining us again.
Sure, man. Good times.
Hey, yeah, man. Jake, thanks again for doing this, man. We definitely really appreciate you doing it. Not 1 week, but 2 weeks for us. And so you right now are back at DDP's house. How is that going? Because you weren't there last week, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, you get out, get away from it. And then, you know, I had some physical problems come up. You know, got sick and body ran down. I let myself get out of the routine of doing it every day. And that's what I need, unfortunately. And I've been having a real bad nerve problem in my feet. And it would send like electric shocks down my legs, and it burnt like hell when it got to my feet, man. And it was real bad. And it was hard to walk. And I got lucky, man. I went to Dallas right after Christmas to see my grandchildren. And I seen a doctor out there, and he put me on this new stuff called Lyrica. And within 24 hours, man, my foot pain was gone. It was amazing. I mean, it's like a gift from God, man. I can't believe that it's gone. I keep waiting each morning, you know, to step on my feet and feel that same feeling again. But it's not there, man. And it's just a nerve pain that happens to some people, man. And as they get older, and, you know, that kept me away from working out, you know, because if you got some severe pain in your feet, you can't get up and move around. You can't walk. You can't go places. And I'd gotten to where I sat in that old chair, you know, just watching TV, letting time roll by. And that's not good. You know, that's not good at all for anybody, you know, especially people that have abused their bodies like I did back in the day. And, you know, I just had to come back and get my head out of my butt and get back in there and start doing it every day again. And I thought, well, let's kill two birds with one stone. I need to get away from Las Vegas, because that's seven, you know, that 5-hour plane trip every week, because I always work on the East Coast and I'm going out every weekend. So why not move back to Atlanta? That makes sense. So I'm going to stay here for probably 3 to 6 months till I get to where I'm really happy with the way I feel. And then I'm going to move to Dallas so I can be around my grandkids, man. I went back there and visited with them, and you know, I got 6 grandkids there. And man, oh man, you know, and things change, bro. I mean, man, I was in hog heaven and going to basketball games and soccer games, and now we're talking about baseball coming up. I just want to be a part of that, man. You know, I never got that opportunity when I was a father to go do those things. I was always on the road, and I always regretted it. I hated myself for it, you know, because I always said that I wouldn't do my kids the way my dad did me. Well, I did my kids the exact same damn way. You know, I was always gone, never there. Put wrestling first and put my career first, and was very selfish with my time, you know. And then, of course, after wrestling, I got into the drugs and everything, and that took all my time. So I missed everything. So now I'm getting an opportunity, and I'm taking advantage of it. And I'm going to watch those grandkids grow up, and I'm going to be right there coaching them if I can, and just being a part of their lives, man. That's real important these days. And I got 2 boys there that are doing an amazing job. And my oldest child, She had been misdiagnosed with MS for 10 years. Wow. 10 years, man. They misdiagnosed her, said she had MS, and she doesn't. Of course, over that 10-year span, they've given her every drug in the world for MS, and a lot of that's pretty invasive stuff. So her body's pretty well trashed, and she's got a long recovery to come off, and she's there also, so I can help her too, man, and get her to where she can have some type of life, because she didn't have much at all the way it was.
So, Jake, speaking about injuries and being healthy and everything, there is a specific segment I remember of the Snake Pit that involved you. It involved the Honky Tonk Man, and I've heard other people say, and I just want your opinion on it. I feel like you've said this before too, that when Honky hit you with that guitar, did he try to hurt you on purpose?
Well, it was definitely a cheap shot. You know, he didn't have to come to the head anyway. It was supposed to have been across the back. I remember that night real well, man. And I watched him sit there and carve that guitar, trying to take some of the strength out of it. Well, they made some grooves in it, but they didn't take any of the strength out of it, man. And when he hit me, it was a shot that I'll never forget. And, you know, I barely remember going down, and then he just kept hitting me over the back then, which was okay. I was all right with that, but that headshot really messed me up. It blew two discs out of my neck. And, you know, there's some people in this business that love the business, man, and they go out there and they work hard and they have a good career, man, or whatever. But there's some people out there that are just lazy. They're cheap shot artists, whatever they are, you know. And he's one of those guys, man. He's just a scum of the earth. That's plain and simple.
With that kind of shot, is that something because he had something personal against you, or is that what he would do against anybody because they were in a higher position than him?
He would try to do it with anybody. He just wanted a cheap shot. You know, he thought maybe he could get over better if I was crippled, I guess. I don't know. You know, how does somebody like that think? I'd have no idea. You know, for him to do that and for him to do some of the other things that he's done. You know, he's a hater. He's a loser. You know, here's a guy that was Intercontinental Champion for a year, not because they wanted him to be, but he just refused to drop the belt. You know, he had that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels syndrome of, oh, I won this belt. No, you didn't. Jesus Christ, it's a business, for Christ's sake. You know, the guys that come into the ring, they make you look good. And he's one of those guys, man, that just, you know, he got that belt around his waist, man. He wasn't going to give it up, you know. Well, you've seen what's happened to him since then. Nothing, you know, nothing, man. And, you know, the guy had some talent, man, but he just, you know, that mentality he had, man, he just screwed up, dude. You know, he needs to get a life, man. Quit trying to steal somebody else's life. I mean, when you, I got a call from the people that register your names and stuff and trademarks, and they said, you know, are you through using that name that you own? I'm like, well, no. I was told I didn't have to go, re-up every year because I'm pretty much grandfathered into this name, Jake the Snake Roberts. So, well, you are, but we have somebody that's really wanting that name, and we wanted to see if you were through with it. If you are through with it, we'll let them register. I'm like, who the hell wants to register my name? And they told me, Wayne Ferris.
Are you serious?
I'm like, are you kidding? Yes. Oh, I'm not the only one. He got some other people. He got the Patriots name, you know. So now he takes his kid with him to these shows, autograph shows, and puts a Patriot mask on him, and they sell pictures of the fan as him as the Patriot. Come on, fans, what are y'all doing? The guy weighs 150 pounds. That's not the Patriot, you know, for crying out loud. But for him just to rip the fans off like that just sucks, man. But, you know, some people, man, rather steal than work hard for anything.
We talked last week about your situation with Hulk Hogan and how, you know, the fans cheered for you instead of him.
Yeah.
Was the precursor to that a feud that you had with Randy Savage where, you know, you were the bad guy again, Savage the good guy, but as much as the announcers tried, they couldn't make it appear any less.
They couldn't get it all the way.
What was it that made you so popular even against a guy as great as Savage?
Well, there's a weird thing that happens in wrestling. You know, sometimes you have guys that can go out there and they can look at the people ugly and they become bad guys or whatever. But then there are those guys that go out there and they work really hard above and beyond, and they reach a level to where the people believe in what those guys are doing. Now, if you couple that with somebody that can do an interview like I could to make people believe that I was going to do it, whatever I said, they believe that, because I don't do stupid stuff on the mic. You know, I'll say stupid things on there. I always put things out there in a way that I accomplish that deed. You know, whatever I say I do, I'm going to do, I do it. So they believe it. And, you know, people appreciate guys that work hard. People appreciated Bret Hart because he worked his tail off. People appreciate The Undertaker because he works his tail off. It's not because he has the great gimmick. Hell, there's a million damn gimmicks out there. What the hell are you talking about, you know? This guy works his tail off, man, and people believe in him. So you try to turn him heel, and the people are like, yeah, go ahead and turn him heel. It doesn't really matter, because I love watching that guy because he works his tail off, and it's always going to be a great match. People appreciate that stuff, you know? So even with Macho, you know, I mean, they turned me, okay. It was 50-50. You know, that's about as best as it's going to get, because the people had the respect for me and my talent. They had the respect for Randy and his talent. Nobody ever called Randy lazy, you know? So there are people that surpass that good guy, bad guy thing. And of course, as times went on, you got other people that have done it too. You know, Steve Austin done it. You know, there's no way you can turn him heel. Try. He'll laugh at you.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is, man. Because they go out there and they give it 100% and they perform and there's never a bad match. You know, when you sit out there in those seats and you're watching wrestling, you learn to appreciate the guys that go out there and make it real. You know, nobody wants to think that they paid $50 or whatever to come to a wrestling show and watch phony wrestling. No. Yes, they know it's staged and it's this and that and it's a business, but still they want to get lost for just a few moments, man, to where they can believe those guys are actually doing what they're doing. That's when they fall in love with it, man. That's what puts asses in seats. And you know, I've always worked like that, man. I've always gutted it out and gave it 100% and tried to make some sense, you know, not just go out there and see how many bumps I could take or anything like that. Ronnie Garvin and I used to have some great matches because we went out there and we knocked the snot out of each other and had a great time doing it.
Well, with Ronnie, you had no choice, right? If you got to hit back.
Oh my God. Yeah. You fight for your life, man. I'll tell you the scariest thing that ever happened with me and Ronnie Garvin was I was watching him one night and we were having a strap match and we were laying him in because Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich had a bad one. Both of them were, let's just say, three sheets in the wind, if you will, and they made a joke out of it. It was horrible. And the people were booing. I mean, it was really bad. And so people lost belief in the strap match. Well, Ronnie and I were determined we're going to make them believe it again. So we went out there and just whipped the snot out of each other. And we were all cut up, you know, from the strap cutting us and everything. Blood was hitting third and fourth row, man, every time we hit each other. And the fans, man, they were just covered in it. They're like, my God, what's going on? Well, I was beating Ronnie and hammering him down, and he'd start to come up, and I'd hammer him down again. And I'm thinking, man, it's about time for that comeback, man. And I'd look down at him, I'd hit him again, then I noticed something. His friggin' nipples got hard. When his nipples got hard, that's when he got up and made his comeback. It was incredible. And after that, I watched every night, and we'd be working in the match and working. I said, come on, Ronnie. He's like, not yet. And I looked down there, his nipples would start getting hard. Yeah, here I come. Look out. And then here he'd come, man. And years later, I've wondered, what the hell does that really mean? And it's kind of scary.
Well, you know, Miss Atlanta Lively, you know, good thing.
Yeah.
With, you know, all these guys that you're wrestling with as a heel, you finally do turn, you know, to the good guy the fans want you to. And because the honky sure. thing started that. And immediately you start working with Ted DiBiase. You had a lot of history. You knew each other pretty well. You had great chemistry outside the ring in your promos. You could really take a bite out of that character and work with it, the Million Dollar Man character. What was it like, the chemistry in the ring with him?
Well, Ted was a great mechanic in the ring. And Ted's no dummy. He would come to me and just basically tell me, what do you want to do? You know, and I'd tell him, and that's the way we'd go. He trusted me. Because, again, I'm one of those guys that goes out there and performs, and I want the best match I can have, and I believe in making my opponent. I can prove that by, if you watch all my squash matches back in the day, I didn't go out there and just slaughter those kids. I'd give them something. You know, I'd give them one spot. Nobody else did that. In fact, this man said, Jesus, Jake, quit doing that. Just go out there and take it all. I'm like, Vince, that's not my style.
But wasn't my style smart, is to... That was the smart way to do it.
I thought so.
Right.
I thought so. You know, because I'll tell you something. I go back in that locker room. You know, Roddy Piper taught me this. You know, back in the day, up in New York, we'd work television, and you have to wrestle three tapes. All right? We'd go by and see old Arnie Skolin, who was going to give us our money for the night. You know what we got paid for that those three matches?
What?
$50.
Oh, my God.
$50 for all three. All three. Now, the squash guys, they got $500.
Oh, that's right, because you guys got paid because they said you got TV exposure. That was your payment.
Right. Right. What a bunch of crap that was.
I'm a musician. Okay. Jake, I know an exposure gig is bullshit if you're a musician.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's bullshit is right. So I would take that $50 and I would go to the first guy that I was going to wrestle, and I'd pull him aside and I'd say, look, man, you know, I really appreciate you doing what you're doing for me. And I just want you to have this, man. And give him that $50. And they're like, what? And I'm like, no, just go buy your dinner with it or something, man. Or buy something for your kid. I don't know, man. I said, I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. I'm going to give you this. Well, they knew we were only getting $50. So for me to give that to them, that really meant something to them. It really touched them. And what would they do for me now? They would do anything for me. They'd go out there and take higher bumps. They would sell better. Because, you know, come on, those guys, some of those guys were better than the guys that are beating them. Let's face it. There were some job guys that were damn good workers that could, you know, if given the opportunity, they could have done the same thing we were doing. They could have been the star. But because of Vince's choice, they're not. You know, the haves and the have-nots. You know, that's what it was.
And you weren't so, like a Dynamite Kid or Ronnie Garvin who would beat the shit out of them either.
No. No, I wasn't a Buzz Sawyer or one of those jokers that just go in there and just, you know, humiliate them and slap the snot out of them. No, hell no, I ain't doing that, man. You know, number one, I'm going to take care of their body because they got to go to work tomorrow. I don't. I'm going to wrestle somewhere else. I'm not doing no 8 hours anywhere. So for me to give that to them, they would just go out there and work their tails off is all I'm saying. Do you appreciate people, man? If you appreciate people, they'll give it back, man. That's kind of the way I've lived my life, man. You know, I've always tried to help people in the ring. There's a lot of guys that won't help anybody else because they're too job scared or too scared that somebody's going to pass them up. My thought was, you know, if we all get really good, we can all make great money. And we can interchange the parts. The guys can get some time off, you know, here and there. Hell, guys like Hogan and myself and a few others, we never got a damn day off. We had to be there for the crowds to be there. So, you know, sometimes being in that number one position ain't as pretty as you think it is. Yeah, you make a lot more money, but you don't have any time for nothing else, man. You don't have time to wipe your ass, much less have a good time with your family. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, man.
So Jake, the angle that you did with Rick Rude, where he had your wife on his gear, on his tights and everything. Looking back on that now, is that something like, how was it having your wife with you on the road like that and involving her? Is that something that you regret doing, or was it cool to have her around? Like, how did other people react to it backstage? Because that was kind of like an unheard of thing at that time.
Well, it came about because I'd flunked the drug test. You know, I stayed up all night studying for it, but I still flunked. But, you know, Vince said, well, hey, you know, why don't we put your wife on the road with you? And, you know, she can support you. And, you know, that way you won't go out to these places and get into trouble. Okay. Sounds like a good idea. Bullshit. That's the worst damned idea. Because what did she see when she came on the road?
She saw all the other boys cheating on their wives?
Yeah, buddy.
But you're the innocent man, one. Man. Out of all the guys, it's just you who's faithful.
Oh, yeah. I'm the only guy that never dips his doodle. Yeah, baby. It was hell for me, man. Because these guys don't give a damn, man. And they just come to me and they go, hey, man, tell your wife to keep her fucking mouth shut, you know? Yeah, sure, that's going to work. You know, good luck, you know? And it made it hell. And then the only good thing that happened out of it was she got to see and got to feel what it was like to be on the road for 30 or 40 days straight, you know, and how grueling that is. And she wasn't even wrestling, and she was worn out. She was whipped. She had started getting sick. Her body was just trashed, and she needed to go home and rest. I'm like, hey, we're just getting going. We still got 3 weeks left, kid. Get your ass out of bed and come on. And boy, oh boy, she gained some respect for that adding of it anyway. So the other bad thing about it was, man, we were done towards the end of that angle. She finally gets a chance to whack Rude. And oh my God, she hit him so friggin' hard. And of course, she hit him right in the damned ear, man.
Always.
And busted his eardrum, you know, and I go come to the back and he's like, God damn it, fucking old lady of yours, man. She busted my fucking eardrum. You know, like, Rick, I'm sorry. He goes, what do you, I get up. I said, well, what are you going to do? Kick my fucking ass for that? Go kick her ass. He goes, hell no, I'm scared of her. She fucking already busted my eardrum. She hits three times as hard as you do. I'm like, fuck you, asshole. You know, so, you know, it was good and bad, but, you know, it's not a good idea to take your wife on the road with you, man. They see way too much. And I remember an old timer one time telling me, he was an old job guy, just, you know, got beat up all the time. I can't remember his last name. He's from Kansas City. And we were riding down the road, and I told him, I said, man, when did you smarten your wife up? He goes, I never did. I said, she doesn't know. He goes, yeah, she knows now. I'm like, well, why does she know now? He goes, hell, I won my first match a couple of years ago. Now she knows. And I'm like, holy shit, man. Give me a break. That's a hell of a sense of humor, man. I won my first match. She knows it's rigged.
As a,
damn.
As a creative guy, the WrestleMania 7 match seems made for you as like a creative template, mm-hmm. you know, where you and you and Martel are masked. And you tried a lot of stuff. Generally, people kind of think of it as a miss. What happened in that match, and why didn't it turn out as great as it could have been, considering how creative you are?
Well, I had as much fun with it as Rick would let me. Rick was terrified to do the match. In fact, we wound up having to do it before Mania, some small town in Missouri, I believe, and he just didn't believe it would work. And of course, it does work. It so easily worked, you know, and all by pointing and direction and stuff in the spots you could come up with, you know, with the near misses and the almost, and, you know, you bump back to back, you bump into each other and you turn and you run right past each other. It's just, you know, the creative shit is so easy. But, you know, we'd only gotten given so much time. That's the only bad thing I hated about Mania was they bottled you in on your time. In the ring, and you know, they wanted to save it for the last match or whatever, you know. sometimes that's not a good idea, Vince. But anyway, we weren't given much time at all. So you got to build that thing, you know. You can't go out there and just take off right into it because it just doesn't look real then. So by the time we got it to where we were getting the people with it, it was time to go. So that was all that was, man. But we still got what we needed out of it. It wasn't a main event match. They didn't put it there, and that's their mistake because it could have been anything we wanted it to be.
Did you guys work out? Did you guys try the match out beforehand, like on a house show or anything?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's what I was telling you. We did that, and I believe it was in Missouri. I could be wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time. Or it might have been Altoona for all I know. I can't remember.
It was better, though, when you had more time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had like 20 minutes then, and we went out there and had a blast. You know, the first 5 minutes, I had to get Rick to where he would trust that it was going to work. You know, and after that, he seen what it could do, you know, and it was just great. It was hilarious stuff, man. We do stuff like shoot a guy off and go to leapfrog him, and you'd jump twice, you know. What are you doing jumping up in there like a leapfrog? There ain't nobody there, man. You're jumping around the ring like a damn frog, and then finally the guy throws his hands up, and of course he turns right into your punch, man. You knock him on his ass, but you go to cover, and he's not there. Where the hell is he? Oh, he's over here. It's too late now. 1, 2, he kicks out. Oh, it's so easy. So easy. So much fun, man. There is no greater feeling in the world than getting that pop out of the people, man. The way you designed it, the way you set it up, you know, and that's just what's so much fun about creating anyway.
But even when you're creative and you're in a collaborative process like that, if you're working with someone who maybe not be listening or not cooperating or doesn't get it, it's hard.
Right.
You did a whole thing with brutal. Ultimate Warrior. Is he someone in that category of someone who wouldn't play off you?
Yep. He was going to go his direction. That was it. And I guess, you know, it cost me a lot of money him pulling what he did. You know, they set that whole thing up with me and Warrior, and we go to SummerSlam, and he holds McMahon up for $1 million. And McMahon paid him off. But when he walked back through that curtain, McMahon said, "You're fired. Get the fuck out of my building." And that was the end of that shit.
Did you see him
McMahon
say that?
McMahon looked at me. Oh, yeah. McMahon looked at me and goes, "You got the worst fucking luck." You know? Oh, thanks, Vince. What are you saying? Well, what he was saying was I was going to get my big run with Warrior and make the big money. You know, that's the only part that bothered me about not working with Hogan, was that's where the money's at, you know. And that's why I often joke around and say, yeah, the fans cost me millions, you know. But, I appreciate the fans, and I get it. You know, I'm not angry about anything, man. I had a wonderful career, brother. And, you know, sometimes I get down on myself, man. You could have done so much more if, you know, if frogs had wings, they wouldn't bust their ass when they jumped, you know. But, I had a great, great, great career. I put my career up against anybody to say, you show me somebody with a body of work that I have. And there's not anybody out there, man. I went out there and worked with everybody from Bad News Brown, the Earthquake, you know, all those guys, man. I went out there and we tore the house down, man. Worked with Andre when Andre couldn't get around. You know, I was the last guy to do a real program with Andre.
You know, they came up with the idea of Andre being afraid of the snake. Was that?
I think that was Andre's. You know, it had to be, because for him to say he's afraid of anything is just comical, you know. Because he wasn't afraid of nothing, brother. You know that. You know, and he was the one that made it work. You know, I mean, he's the one that went down, man. And the way he sold it, you believe that giant was scared. You know, and everybody can identify with that. See, I don't care how big you are, how bad you are. The snake thing is something everybody in the world can identify with. They get it. It's in their head. It's ingrained, man. You know, from birth, you know, what's mom and dad tell you about snakes? They keep away from those things that hurt you, boy.
Right.
You know, they put that fear in you, you know, and you're taught that fear your whole life. Well, Andre's no different. and he knew that he could do it. And by God, he went out there and proved it, didn't he?
He ran like a
Christ, man.
Like a scared child.
Let me tell you the great. Let me tell you the greatest thing I've ever seen him do, man. This is so awesome. We were in. Hold on a second. I think we were in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he was in the ring. I come out, I put the snake on the corner, I get in the ring, and we start going at it. And he's got me in the ropes, he's choking the snot out of me. And all of a sudden, I hear the people just cheering their asses off. I'm like, well, Jesus Christ, this crowd's going to be tough. You know, they're cheering me getting the shit choked out of me.
Right.
I didn't know what was going on. And Andre puts me down and he's stomping me and stuff. I'm on my stomach now. I damn sure can't see anything. And now they're going crazy. The fans are popping, man. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And all of a sudden, Andre's gone. And I push myself up. My look, and Andre's outside the ring, and he's got his hands up there going, no, snake, snake, no, no. And he's screaming, and Heenan's with him. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I turn around and look, and there's some little girl about 12 years old that's got my damn snake out coming towards me. And she's crying. And she finally gets over to me. She's shaking so bad, she drops the snake, and she just collapses. Well, I help her to her feet. I'm like, are you all right? But he was hurting you. I love you. I don't want you to get hurt anymore. He's too big. It's not fair. I'm like, it's all right. It's okay, sweetheart. Thank you very much. Andre is so smart. He grabs a microphone and demands the police come in that ring and get that damn girl out of this building because she interfered in the match. That's brilliant. Bobby Heenan gets on the microphone, and next thing you know, man, the cops are in the ring grabbing this girl. The parents are up there now. They're fucking arguing and shit, and they drag him out of the building, brother. Oh, my God. What a fucking asshole, man.
Right.
Are you serious? You just had that little kid thrown out of a building? Oh, my God. What a heel. That was brilliant. That was freaking brilliant. That's thinking on the run, man.
So, Jake, clearly, you know, I know you worked with Andre the Giant a lot. But, I mean, I've heard some stories. I'm sure everyone's heard stories that he was kind of unapproachable in the locker room, scary. I mean, what was your relationship with him like? Like, could you guys, you know, play cards together?
Yeah.
Did you have beers together? Were you guys friends? How was it outside the room?
Yeah. We played cards all the time. Yeah, every night we played cribbage, man. Every night we played cribbage. I remember WrestleMania 3, man, and that's pretty funny because at the time, not many people know about all this, but, you know, Andre got in the title and stuff, and he's going to drop it to Hogan at WrestleMania 3. You know, it's going to be a big thing, you know, the passing of the torch type thing, man. You know, this is the new way. This is the new breed. You know, this is it, Andre. Well, Andre went into the office and demanded they get a belt that fit him. What?
Right.
Well, Andre, you're going to be dropping it to Hogan. Not yet. You know, holy shit. Okay, Andre, we'll get a belt. So Vince got a belt. So at Mania, we're there, and Andre and I are playing cards, and Vince is like, Andre, we need to talk. Too busy playing cards. Leave me alone. Goes back to playing cards. You know, and I'm like, oh, wait, shit, man. You know, Vince is looking at me like, get the fuck away from the table. I'm like, I can't get up and walk off. He got me, Andre, I'm done. No, one more game. Because I was up like $50 on him, playing $10 a game. And he wouldn't go meet with Vince and Hogan about the match. So finally, Vince comes over and he's like, Andre, what are we going to do tonight? He goes, I don't know yet. I make up my mind and ring.
Really?
What? Yeah. What? I like this title. Bobby, I like this title. Does it look good? Oh, Andre, it looks wonderful. Absolutely, yeah. Bobby, I think maybe I keep the title. Everybody's like, holy shit. Hogan after Andre goes to the ring, he grabs Vince. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And Vince is like, I don't know, you know. And fucking Hogan says, I'm not fighting him for this fucking belt, man. I'm not fighting that son of a bitch over it. If he wants it, he can have it, you know, type situation.
Right.
So he went on to the ring, man. Of course, once he got in the ring, Andre says, yeah, it's okay. No problem. You know, and boom, it's okay then. So, yeah, man. I mean, poor Savage. He hated Savage for some reason. I don't know. But he did not like Randy at all. And, you know, Randy was the tightest son of a bitch on the planet. And, you know, he didn't waste anything, bro. And I remember Andre one time was wrestling Savage, and they come to the gorilla position, and Savage is putting oil on, and Andre goes, I hate oil. Savage took his bottle of oil and threw it in the fucking trash, grabbed the towel, and started scrubbing it off of him, you know. And Andre just went out there and beat the snot out of him. You know, Andre wanted you to fight. That was the key. He wanted it to be a damn contest. He took pride in working a good match. He knew what to give you and what not to give you if you made it a fight. But if you came out there and just, you know, patty caked around and fooled around, he would eat your ass alive because he was proud of what he done. That's all. He was proud to be a wrestler. And he didn't want anybody walking away from that ring that did not see a battle the way it should be. And that's a giant's going to be on you and beating you at some point and just whooping your ass, and you don't have a Chinaman's prayer until that giant makes a mistake. And then he'll give you that comeback. And my God, he knew when to do it. He knew how to do it. He wouldn't go down for no light fucking slap or something. No, you had to fucking hit him two or three times, man, with some real good shit. You know, I mean, if he didn't want you to hit him, you couldn't hit him. Because he would just stick his paw out there and he'd catch your damn hand like a fucking catcher would a baseball. His hands were so big, man, he'd just catch them. And, man, that jar the shit out of your wrist and your elbow and your shoulder hurt like hell. So, man, he stopped you from hitting him if he didn't want you to hit him. So, you know, the man knew the business inside and out, man. He took great pride in that. And, I wrestled him 6 months. Every night, man, went out there. And I remember one night one afternoon we were in Philadelphia, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, man, and I clotheslined him. The one time and the only time I ever clotheslined that son of a bitch, I clotheslined him, and when I did, I tore my pec in half. Man, I went down like somebody had shot me. I looked down, my chest is sticking about 5 inches up in the air, a big old knot. And I'm holding my arm close to my body. Andre reaches down and grabs my wrist and jerks me to my feet, man. I passed out. Passed out, you know, from the pain.
Right.
And when I wake up, he's got me in a bear hug, shaking me. You okay? You okay? And I'm like, no. Fucking, oh my God, what's wrong? Oh my God. I thought I'd separated my shoulder. But I tore that pec in half and, course, back in those days, I iced it all the way to Scranton, and we wrestled each other that night.
Oh,
you know, and he took care of me, man. He took care of me. You know, he didn't make me use that thing. You know, and that's just amazing. That's the way we were back then. You didn't take time off for injuries. You worked around them.
So when you went to WCW, you didn't go alone. You went with your dad. Was that something you hooked up for him? Like, did you get your dad that opportunity to work for World Championship Wrestling?
No, he was already there, man. And unfortunately, I'd made my deal with Kip Fry. And I had to wait 6 weeks before I went to work. That was a deal Vince and I worked out. And the fifth week, Bill Watts took the prize position. That was fucked.
Did he hold a grudge against you for leaving him?
Oh, my God. Well, he had a deal in Atlanta. And his deal was he would get 10% of whatever he saved the company. Okay? So he made guys redo their contracts, even when they weren't up.
Wow.
You know? he went to guys, you guys need to redo your contract. And what for? We got 3 years left. Yeah, do you really want to spend the next 3 years getting your ass beat, slaughtered, molested on television every week? Well, no. Then you better come in and redo your contract. Wow. Huh. Yeah. Well, I had a sweet-ass contract set up with Kip Fry. You know, it was multi-millions, man. And Watts got there, and he looked at me, and he goes, I looked at this contract, and he just ripped it up in front of him, and he goes, never fucking happen. What? No. I'll give you $1,000 a show, and that's it. Are you fucking kidding me? You know? And I took it, fortunately, because I just left Vince. I couldn't go back there, man. What the fuck? You know?
And he knew that.
I took it. Yeah, he knew it. Yeah, he knew it. So I took it, and then we do the thing with Sting, and, you know, we had the snake bite me in the face. They wanted it to bite my hand. I said, no, no, no. If it's going to bite me, it's going to bite me in the face. Man, let's get real. Let's have some fun. So I let it bite me in the face, and because the deal was that I was going to get it back on television the very next week. Well, it bites me in the face. 2 days later, we're going down to Atlanta to do the interviews. I go in there and start to do the interview and pull up the snake. They're like, I'm sorry, you need to get that off the, you know, off the set. I'm like, what? Get it off? What do you mean? Bill Watts has banned the snake forever. What? Yeah. He fucking lied to me.
He banned it off me screen, the face. And he banned it off screen like it was legit. He didn't put the snake on.
Right. So he's trying to kill the character. That's how stupid he is. Bill, if you're hiring somebody from a rival company that's way up the ladder, you can do two things. You can make him a star and ride that role that's already set up, or you can beat him and it wastes everything, right? Common sense tells you that.
Right.
So you just don't beat the fucking guy and waste all that. You put him in programs, man, and let him build somebody else up. Well, he gets beat by Sting, and that was going to be the end of me. And I fucking lost it, man, when I found that shit out. So I put my thinking hat on and come up with an idea of putting myself into rehab. I went into rehab. So I knew what was going to happen then. As soon as I went into rehab, because Bill Watts had a deal. His deal was, we'll pay you $1,000 a day, but we'll pay you $500 of it per week, and then at the end of 90 days, we will give you the rest if you've not broken any rules or you haven't done that, because he would fine you money, see? Right. So by me going to rehab, he took all my money. So it was like 2.5 months' work. He took $500 of it every night and fined me that. Just came up with that number. Imagine how that worked out. Well, that was pretty easy, because that's exactly what I wanted him to do, that big fat bastard. Because as soon as he did that, man, I went to the equal opportunity people, man, and said, hey, man, I'm trying to do the right thing. And I went to rehab because I want to be a role model for kids. I want to help kids not go to drugs and alcohol. And I do it trying to do the right thing. And what does this guy do? He fines me all my money. What the hell? I can't even support my family. That's not helping my situation out. And the next thing you know, Turner's making a settlement with me. And when Turner made the settlement, they're like, what can we work out? Because we don't want this bad press. And all I wanted was what was due to me. I didn't ask for $250,000 plus. I didn't ask for $1 million. I just said, I want the money you guys owe me. But unfortunately, when you do that with Turner, he doesn't want you back in there. So, you know, I didn't think that went through, because my lawyer said, you know, what are you looking for? We got, you know, at least $3 or $4 million here we can grab. I'm like, no, man, I'm not here to rip nobody off, man. I said, I just want the money they owe me. And unfortunately, I took that.
The, you know, speaking of not thinking things through, everybody remembers, you know, nobody could forget, spin the wheel, make a deal. I remember your face.
Oh, that's horseshit.
Yeah, that's what's kind of funny, Robbie, is that on the spin a wheel, make the deal match they had in WCW, they didn't gimmick it at all, right? So there's
different
kinds of matches. If you had to face Sting or Jake Roberts in one of those matches, what would it have been?
A Botox on a pole match? Is that a thing?
Oh, no.
Is that not a thing?
Okay, Jake. No.
I mean,
was there a point in time where you wanted to speak up and say, hey, we need to work this wheel, right?
Yeah. But Bill Watts was into that bullshit, man. You know, he wanted to steal, you know, WCW's real. Vince McMahon isn't. Vince, shut up, Bill. Come on. Are you serious?
Was that the reason?
I mean, I remember you know, he wanted everything to be a shoot. You know, and he, I mean, the same crap he pulled in Louisiana. He'd take chairs out there and go, we don't use phony chairs like they do in the WWF. We use real chairs. And he's having guys get clocked with this shit. Yeah, he didn't mind you getting clocked with it because he wasn't the one getting clocked. You know? My God.
We
never used gimmick chairs. We never used gimmick chairs in either place.
Right, right.
Fans, if you didn't know that, those are real goddamn chairs. We're just stupid enough to do it. No, we're not stupid. We just love what we do.
Well,
proud of what
times
we do,
changed,
man.
So you don't—they're not taking those headshots with the chairs anymore.
No, they don't take headshots anymore. Of course, I was a little too late on that one. I got my 100 or so concussions.
Well, you know, and the Attitude Era was part of that, and you were there at the very mm-hmm. beginning, and mm-hmm. we talked a bit about last time about, you know, how you really played a huge role in Steve Austin's ascent and all that.
Yeah. How did that come about? Who contacted you to rebuild the relationship?
Well, McMahon called me, you know, wanted me to come back, you know, to do King of the Ring. To do, well, they just had it. What am I thinking? Come on, Jake.
Royal Rumble.
They had me do a Royal Rumble in Fresno, and it was a real weird night, man. You know, they called me and said, we want you to come back. I'm like, what? And here I have gained like 40 pounds, man. I was not ready to come back. I wasn't in shape. I hadn't been to a gym, you know, but I could use the money. So I went and did it. Well, at that time, Vince was, you know, they always do this. They gauge the crowd pop, you know. They got machines that, you know, measure the pop in the crowd, you know, when each person goes to the ring, you know, or
really?
Or something happens in the ring. Yeah, crowd response. They measure that shit.
And Vince keeps track of that? Now,
yeah, damn right he does. Damn right he does. You know, that's how decisions are made sometimes. Well, that gets a hell of a pop when he goes out there. You know, it measured 0.3 on a scale of whatever, you know, bullshit. Well, I went to the ring there, and man, it was unbelievable, the pop I got. Oh, my God. And at the end of the show, Vince calls everybody in. And he says, I just want to tell you guys something. I said, y'all need to look around and look at each other. And who do you think had the best pop tonight? I'll tell you, a guy that hadn't been here in 3 years, Jake had the best friggin' pop tonight. Guess who had the second best pop? Yeah, that's right, Jake. And the third, Jake. Guys, what the fuck? Y'all need to pick his brain and see what he's doing, because he fucking got it. And I got a pop going into the ring. I got the pop when I DDT'd somebody, and I got the pop when I dumped the snake out. Right. And the three largest pops of the night, man. And boy, did that give me some heat with the boys. Oh, my God.
Right away.
Yeah, buddy. You know, and things had already changed by then. You know, it wasn't the same way it was when I was there, you know. I like to say that, you know, sometimes the inmates take over the asylum and they run it. And that's what was going on at the time. You know, they had the click going, all that bullshit. And that wasn't really a good time for wrestling, I don't think, man. It, you know, you can't put people in charge and let them run your company, man. You can't do that, you know. But that's what was going on, and they paid for it for a while.
And in a sense, they've kind of taken really over it a little bit with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, they did. They did what they wanted, man, you know. And I'll never forget the night that, you know, the guys got in the ring together, you know, after they'd worked against each other, you know.
So you were there at the curtain call?
Square Garden. Yeah, man.
What was the reaction from you and the other guys when that happened?
I hated it. I was disgusted, you know, and that's just my own feelings. And I have a right to those feelings, man. I thought it was pissing, you know, I thought he was pissing on the business, you know. And yeah, I get it that Vince has said this about the business, and he's said that about the business. There's no kayfabe anymore. But God damn it, man, you don't have to throw it in the fucking people's face, you know. And it just hurt me. It really did. I remember Freddie Blassie. He went nuts that night. He went fucking bazonkers that night. He was throwing shit in the back, fucking cussing him. Oh, my God. I just wanted to get out of Freddie's way, man. But, they, you know, they checked with Vince, and Vince okayed it. You know, what the fuck, man? Whatever, my own personal feelings there. You know, I'm not saying the guys are bad guys. The guys have a lot of great talent there. You're talking about a lot of great talent, man. But, you know, I'd like to think they regretted that, but I doubt if they do.
When you look back on your career, you know, you say you've had a great career. Of course you've had a great career, but you have, you know, some regrets. And of course, the second time you left, you know, it was more issues with addiction and substances, but also some circumstances. So when you look back on it, do you hold yourself ultimately responsible, or do you hold circumstances?
Yeah, I hold myself responsible, you know. I mean, ultimately, I have to, you know. I'm the one that got ran out of there because I let people get under my skin. I let people play me. They knew what to do, you know. I let some guys intimidate me, man, and I'm ashamed of that, you know, and played games with me and just stupid shit, you know, kid shit they were pulling on me. And it just really frustrated me. And I let my frustration go right, you know, rip that right into my addiction, man. And I went off the deep end again, man. You know, addiction sucks, man. If you haven't been there, don't go there. But, trust me, I've been to jails and I've been to rehabs, and I've never met anybody in either place that said, you know what, my dream growing up was to become a junkie and a drug addict, you know, a drunk. No, nobody dreams that, but shit does happen. You know, and no matter how you got there, you've got to get out. And I've been out now for 7 years. You know, I'm not drinking. I don't do that shit, man. You know, I'll tell you the truth, man. I smoke a little pot every now and then. Don't so much like smoking it because I've got issues with my lungs, but I do the edibles. You know, they help me relax, man. I'm sorry. Hey, judge me if you want to. You know, you're not God. I'm not worried about you judging me.
That's much easier to do in Vegas than Atlanta, though, right?
Yeah, I guess it is. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. No, I'm not doing it here, man. You know, if it's not legal, it's not legal. I'm not going there. You know.
Right. But,
Doesn't mean I won't go to Vegas and visit for a day and see how much of it I can eat, or Colorado, or Washington, or Oregon. They're opening it up.
Just make sure to skip breakfast, right?
Yeah, there you go, bro. Man, I'm telling you, man. It's gonna be a good day, man. Good day to do some edibles.
The thing that got their most reaction last week, of course, was the words about Jerry Gray. And I heard from Mr. Gray, and he said, and here's what he said to me via Facebook. He said it wasn't a $10,000 loan. He just said over the years, he gave you money for this and that.
My God, he's so full of shit.
But
go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
But he's definitely not well right now. I mean, every message.
No, I know that,
I'm not feeling well.
And I hate that.
And what he says really, and I think this says everything, is that it just hurt me when he never responded to me about my illness. And I think maybe he just thinks he should have reached out or something. Does that make sense to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard when he's calling a phone number that I haven't had in 10 years. You know, the only way I heard about him being sick was one of the guys last year at Mania told me that Jerry Gray had gotten ill. And I'm like, oh, my God, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't have a number on him. This guy didn't have the number. And that was the end of it. I love Jerry Gray, man. I helped him when he was starting. You know, I mean, hell, he lived with me and Gene Anderson for a while in the Carolinas. But for him to come out and attack me like that was such bullshit. And for him to saddle up with Honky Tonk and do those damn T-shirts that they'd done, just more crap. Right. That talk is crap. You know, I thought, man, my God, man. You know, I was wanting to send him money, man, but Jesus Christ, at some point you got to say, hey, dude, you get honest and I'll help you. And that's all I'm saying.
Right.
If he gets honest with it and puts it out there, the truth, he'll owe me money over the years. That's such a crap. My God, when did he ever make any money? Jesus Christ, man. That's what people just, I brought it out, man, because I was in church, man, and we were in there, you know, getting the message and stuff, man, and his name just came into my heart, man, and said, you know, you need to pray for him. Okay, let's try that. Yeah, I know what cancer's like, Jerry. I had it cut out of the back of my leg, man, a hunk the size of my fist, you know, and yeah, it's scarier than shit, man. I can't imagine what he's going through.
Yeah,
I know how it affected me. It twisted my mind up, man. Because you don't know what the hell, you know, what's going on with my body. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to live longer. What's going on next? What's coming next? Every time I get a damn bump on my body, I freak out. I know what that fear's like. But had he came to me, you know, and said, hey, bro, yeah, I would have loved to talk to him. I would still like to talk to him. He's a friend. I don't piss on my friends, man. I called him out on it. I didn't attack him and say he was a nothing, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. No. I said, you know, this is bullshit. Why are you doing this, man? Why would you hook up with somebody like Honky Tonk?
And the word is, I got from several people that a lot of this was not led by him. It was something that he said on a podcast, and a lot of people ran with it, and it had nothing to do with what he was doing. But it's a lot of people just trying to get noticed on Twitter and trying to.
That's what I hate about the internet, bro. Is people don't have to stand up for what they've said or done. You know, they can reach out there and they can attack anybody. They can say horrible shit about you. And they're never brought out front to have to straighten it out. You know, I could sit here and say some horrible, nasty stuff about you, call you a pedophile and everything else, and you can't do shit about it? Are you serious?
Right, right. It's got to be frustrating on some level.
But then you have people that game you, people that, you know, they attack your family. You know, I don't even want to go there, man. I was about to say something. But I don't want to go there. I want people to know this. Jake Roberts cares about people, you know, and more about the fans. Wrestling fans are the greatest fans on this planet, man. They taught me that shit. Wrestling fans loved me when I didn't love myself. And they never gave up on me. I gave up on myself many times, but fans never have. And they've always welcomed me back with open arms. And they make me feel like nobody else can. You know, so fans, man, they pay for my damn shoulder surgery, man. I'm like, God, are you serious? That's when it really got my attention that, goddamn, they are real. And I love people in general. I'm not an evil man. I'm not a mean man. Sometimes I wished I was. But then I think back, I'm like, no, I couldn't do that, man. I just can't do that. And I don't get people that do, you know. I don't understand how people can do the things that they do and live with themselves. And I don't know, man. You know, you tell me the answer. I know this. I'm going to be around for a long time, and hopefully I can help a few people out. If you're struggling with addiction or alcoholism, contact me. I'll be glad to talk to you. Other than that, I'm fixing to go on some tours. You guys will get the date soon.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a great time out there. I'm doing some Comic-Cons. The book will be out by July. So that book is going to open so many eyes, man. And oh, my God. Plus, if you want to close somebody's eyes, you can hit them in the head with it because it's going to be about 700 pages. So get ready to read along with them. But I promise you, it's well worth it.
So on the resurrection of Jake the Snake, we all saw when DDP came up to you, Jake, and he said that you were going to be in the Hall of Fame. What was bigger for you, that moment where DDP told you or actually going on stage and it really happening?
Going out there and looking down there and seeing my kids. Hoisting my grandson up. He's my hero. Because he came in this world, they were born, they weighed 1 pound and 8 ounces each, him and his sister. And they've had everything in the world stacked against them, yet they keep fighting. They keep stepping cross lines they said they would never make. Yeah, they got issues, man. Yeah, they got autism. Yeah, they do. But their parents are doing everything in the world to help them. And most of it goes back to eating real food, if you can believe that. Getting off these chemicals that are in this world that people shove down our throats, tell us that it's good food, it's crap. Get off gluten, get off dairy, get real, and have hope. You know, and that's one thing those kids have taught me is hope and prayer. I believe in it, man. I believe in it strongly because, you know, there were so many nights those kids should have died, and they didn't. They said they were going to be deaf, but they're not. They said they were going to be blind. Well, they're not. One of them's pretty close, but she's not there yet. And the things that they've achieved already, going to school, it's crazy, man. You know, and I just look and see that, you know, I had 8 kids, man, and my grandkids are coming now. I've got 9 so far, and just so blessed, man, so blessed. And I want the world to know that we all deserve to be blessed, man, and just keep the faith. Do the next thing right. You know, start there. If you've done things in the past, forgive yourself. Start standing up. Create a new way. You know, the day starts today, you know, and you go on from there. You know, you can do anything you want with your life. Why not make it positive, man, so you can smile?
Oh, my God. That's it. My favorite song.
Well, Jake's interview. Jake, we're not laughing at Jake. You know the deal, guys. Jake's, I can just make Robbie laugh by laughing. I can fake laugh and make him laugh. Watch. That makes me laugh. Jake's second interview was just as good as his first. We heard a lot of stuff, and we finally heard about, you know, why it kind of ended for him. And something we learned this episode, which is unlike last week, he's back in DDP's accountability crib getting his yoga on. How did you enjoy the interview? And do you do yoga?
Well, I have done yoga before. I've also done broga, which is naked yoga, but that's a whole nother thing. We won't get into that. But anyway, it's just like when you're younger and you were listening to him cut his promos. His voice is just so like intriguing. You kind of get lost in listening to him talk and his stories and everything. So I could have listened to him for hours. I know you think I get bored and my attention span isn't there. But for Jake, I mean, I am just with it. I love hearing him talk.
And, you know, because everything he talks about, he's just kind of educating other wrestlers, and he's passionate about the business, and he's got the credibility. What's going on over there? What are you doing over there?
I got the sniffles. It's cold.
You have the sniffles. And also, when you go to the bathroom, you always say, I need to pee. What kind of man says, I need to pee?
What do I say? It's just me and you on the phone.
I mean, you can say, I need to take a piss. I need to go to the bathroom.
No, I mean, I gotta. Why? Pee's, is that like a childish thing? I mean, I say pee pee a lot to my kids, so.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know.
Well, guys, we had a great interview with some serious moments. And of course, make sure to check us out, whiteended.com. Tell all your friends about us. Give us a 5-star review. And what else, Robbie? What did I forget?
Well, of course, Twitter and Instagram at whiteended. Remember the Patreon page. Show us some love. And then, of course, Pro Wrestling Tees, get the white ended shirts. And thank you, guys. We will see you next week
on Why It Ended.
Yeah.